Our Bible reading this morning is in two parts. You may want to find the two parts before I start reading. The first reading is from Romans 1, verses 8 to 13. It's on page 1065 in the Green Bible. And then we move to Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47, and it's on page 1033. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is being reported all over the world. God, whom I serve with my whole heart in preaching the gospel of his Son, is my witness how constantly I remember you in my prayers at all times. And I pray that now, at last, by God's will, the way may be opened for me to come to you. I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gifts to make you strong. That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that I planned many times to come to you, but have been prevented from doing so until now, in order that I might have a harvest amongst you, just as I have had amongst the other Gentiles. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favour of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Well, welcome again, everyone. And this time we can welcome Evelyn properly. We welcomed her at the beginning, but you weren't here. So welcome, Jason, Emma, and Evelyn as well. Great to have you with us this morning. Last week we had a fantastic Harvest Festival service led by Adrian and Charlotte. And hopefully everyone enjoyed that as we were here for Harvest. And this morning we're back to thinking about our vision statement. The vision that we're working on as a church, there it is, following Jesus together, together making followers of Jesus. And we've been working through the meaning of that strap line. It's gone. I don't think I know the explanation bit underneath. I'm going to try and think what it is. We are a welcoming church family that exists to help one another know and follow Jesus Christ and to share the good news of Jesus Christ in our community so that they can know him too. And so we've been concentrating on that really through September. And now we're going on to thinking about how we'll do that, how we're going to work that out. And here's our kind of our method, if you like. We do this by meeting, praying, worshipping, learning, serving, and reaching out with the gospel, united by our faith in God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we're going to call these next couple of months, there's method in our ministry. There's method in our ministry. And the first one we're looking at really is, we do this by meeting. We do this by meeting. You might think, why is meeting in there? Why is that the first thing on the list? And truth be told, we ummed and ahed a little bit, those of us working on this statement. We ummed and ahed whether we should put it in. It sounds kind of too obvious, perhaps a little bland by meeting. But I'm really glad that we did put it in, because it's of vital importance. Meeting together, meeting is crucial to everything that we do. And we're going to go straight away to our Bibles again. If you've got them open on page 1033, the green Bibles on 1033, we're going to go into Acts 2. Because I don't think any of us appreciate really how important meeting is to God. And we're going to see here in this reading just how important it is to God that Christians gather and meet together. Now, most of you know that Acts 2 is a chapter that enthusiastic Christians get enthusiastic about. Keen Christians get keen about it. And maybe your ears prick up whenever you think Acts 2. Because it's the chapter, as many of us know, about the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. The coming of the Holy Spirit in power on that quite small church family after Jesus' death and resurrection. And when we think about the Spirit's coming at Pentecost and the Spirit's ministry, what do we tend to focus on? I think we focus on how the Spirit of God does a whole number of things on that day. We think about how he comes in wind and fire. He comes and brings the gift of tongues and other languages. We think about how he gives courage to Peter's preaching. Peter preaches, doesn't he? An amazing sermon, a rousing sermon. He's very courageous as he stands up there and proclaims to all these different people. We think of people hearing the gospel. We think of them believing the message, being cut to the heart. It says that in that chapter. How they repent urgently of their sins. How they turn to Christ in faith. And how they're baptized in huge numbers. 3,000 are added to the church that day. That's as far as we often get, really, with that story of the day of Pentecost. What we maybe don't notice is the culmination of the Spirit's work on that day. And it's these verses. Ignore that little division that in bold italics there after verse 41, because it's really one flow. It talks about what happens as a result of all those people becoming believers. And we see that the Spirit has done all those things in that list in order to bring these people who believe in Jesus together to share the Christian life together as a family. That's where it's all built up to, bringing them together to share life together as a Christian family. That's the culmination of the Spirit's work. See, Christians meeting together isn't some barren, arid, ordinary thing. It's a spiritual thing. It's the Spirit's thing. Bringing Christians together really matters to God. It matters to him in this age, in the time before Jesus returns. When he returns, we know he's going to gather all the followers of Jesus together. We don't know how exactly he's going to do that, but he will. And until that time, the Spirit brings Christians together to meet with one another. It's a vital thing for us to take in, and that's why it's in our vision. Now, there are two winds blowing through our society through our world today. But there's the wind of culture. And the wind of our culture is blowing people more and more apart. Nowadays, you can pretty much exist by yourself. You can order anything you like online as long as you've got money in your bank account or on a credit card. You hardly need to engage with anyone. You really don't need to meet them face to face at all. But the Spirit of God is another wind. It says that in Acts 2, verse 2. The Spirit came with a violent wind. And in Acts 2, we see that wind blowing. And what that wind does, in Acts 2, he blows until the church are together. And the same Spirit, the same wind is still blowing. Blowing Christians to meet together and be together. We might ask ourselves, which of the two winds is most at work in us, blowing on us? Now, I'm just going to talk a bit about apartheid. Many of us remember the apartheid period of South African history. Certainly, someone like Martin will, having spent a lot of his life in South Africa. And we'll remember that apartheid was this ideology of white supremacy and it was a state policy of racial segregation, wasn't it, in South Africa? I think from the 1940s right through to 1994. I went to South Africa in 1997, and I went to Robben Island and saw Nelson Mandela's prison cell. these very evocative things from that period. I'm sure some others here have done the same. It's a terrible regime, really. And apartheid means apartness. It's an Afrikaans word for apartness, separation, separateness. But apartheid is a problem in the church. It's when people who call themselves Christians spend a lot of time apart, trying to have a relationship with God in separation from other people. Now, don't get me wrong, apartheid was a horrible system. It was a state policy, horrible. But church apartheid is largely voluntary. It's a choice people are making to try and get by without being together, apart from one another. But that's not the way of God's Spirit. He's blowing us to be together. And if we're a church full of God's Spirit, we'll be meeting a lot. So let's look again down at Acts 2, 42 to 47. And see here what the Spirit of God gets the church to meet for. Well, they met for the things that we associate with church, don't they? They met, verse 42, for the apostles' teaching, to be taught by the people who knew Jesus best. They met for the breaking of bread. That's communion, which we're going to celebrate today. They met for prayer. All the things we kind of think of as the spiritual, religious aspects of a church service. But that wasn't all they met for. They also met for fellowship. It says that in verse 42. For fellowship, to be together, to share how life was going, to support and encourage one another. And then we see that they met to share meals in verse 46. They met to share meals. And verse 42 to 45, 44 to 45 show that they met to help each other, to respond to one another's needs in practical ways. They gave to anyone who had need. They met each other's needs. They weren't just meeting for the formal religious bits, the spiritual bits. They were meeting for each other, just to care for each other and look after each other. So that's what they met for, spiritual devotion and mutual care and support. And where did they meet? Verse 46 tells us that they continued to meet in the temple courts. That was a sort of central meeting place, a sort of formal, more organized, perhaps, meeting. But it didn't stop there, did it? It didn't stop with the main central meeting. That was just the beginning. They also met in their homes, verse 46. In homes, away from the central meeting, in more informal ways. They visited each other. They ate together. They dropped round. A meal, perhaps, for someone who was sick. A coffee with someone, perhaps, for a chat. They did both. Both and. It wasn't just the spiritual stuff, the religious stuff, or the social stuff, the caring stuff. Many people just do choose one or the other. Just either the central meeting, the religious bits, or the kind of personal life-sharing bits. But the church, blown together by the Spirit of God, did both. We might ask, oh, there it is. There we go. Centrally and informally. How often? How often did they do it? It seems they did it as often as they could. Did you see that it said in verse 46, every day they continued to meet. Every day they continue to meet. An opportunity to come together daily, not just once a week or twice a month. They were meeting as often as they could. Now that must have taken up a lot of their time. A lot of their time. Perhaps we sort of balk at the thought of that much meeting. Really? That much togetherness? Was it worth it? Well, you judge. You judge. What happened? What was the outcome of all this time spent together, meeting together? Let's have a look through. Well, there was a sense of real excitement, verse 43. Real excitement. Miracles, signs and wonders occurring in their midst. No wonder. They were filled with awe. I'll just put it up on the screen. They saw people's needs being met. That was exciting too. A church that was meeting people's needs, seeing things fixed, problems solved, verse 45. Seeing things happen like that. They experienced joy and gladness. It says that. They experienced joy and gladness in verse 46. Glad and sincere hearts as they shared more of life outside of the formal central meetings. Verse 47 says they were noticed by the wider community. They enjoyed the respect of the community. They enjoyed the favor of all the people. And the last thing was, well, the Lord was working through them to increase the church. Many people were becoming followers. The Lord added daily to those who were being saved. Boy, it was worth it, wasn't it? All this stuff happening, it was incredible. How did it happen? It happened by meeting together, centrally for services, informally in other settings, for the spiritual side, spiritual devotion, and mutual care and support, as often as they could. Shouldn't we become a church like that? A church that meets both formally, gathered centrally, and less formally in other settings during the week. A church that meets for the spiritual stuff, the spiritual devotion, as well as the mutual care and support and relationship, as much as we can. That'd be amazing, wouldn't it? And what might happen? What might happen if we did that? The same, the same. Well, it's stating the obvious, isn't it? But meeting together like this only happens when people make deliberate choices to meet, when they prioritize meeting over other things, when they plan to be with other Christians. I think there's nothing more spiritual than a person who gets out his diary or his iPhone and blocks out the time to go to a meeting, to drop around to see someone from the church family, to be at church on a Sunday. It's really sad how many people ditch the church when something else comes up. I'm not talking about work commitments that can't be moved or a sick relative you've got to care for. But so often, church is what people do when there's no better offer. It's kind of at the bottom of the pile. And if it's like that, then we're never going to experience the life that the Church of Acts experienced. If we want to experience their kind of church, we need to be deliberate and intentional. And we all know that the best times in life that we've had, I guess, have usually been with other people. A holiday, a moment on a holiday. It's best when it's been shared with another person or a family group. It's the same in church. The best things that God does are things he does when we're together. Perhaps you use Skype. I use something called FaceTime to talk to people. And I think that's a great phrase, perhaps, that summarizes what church should be. It should be FaceTime. Lots of time face-to-face with one another, engaging together. Now, this topic poses a really big question for us, I think. And that is, do we actually want to be with other followers of Jesus at a service every Sunday? Do we want to stay and talk to people over coffee afterwards? Do we want to meet people midweek in a fellowship group? Over dinner or a prayer time? In our second reading, we saw that the Apostle Paul really wanted to be with the Christians at Rome. And I see people in this church family who share Paul's passion for the church family. It's really encouraging when people are doing this kind of thing, doing all they can to be with the church. I've been really struck by the example of some of the people who've joined our church family in the last 3 years or so. Some, I notice, are at every prayer meeting that we hold. Others are really proactive about organizing social events. One person is really good at calling people up and organizing to meet them for a coffee, because she really wants to get to know people, people of the same sex. She wants to get to know them one-to-one, to find out their story, where they are with God, and what we can do to help them on their faith. So encouraging. What if we lack that enthusiasm? What do we think? That's really not me. I don't have that enthusiasm. What if gathering with the church and spending time together is not something we feel we really want? What's going to give us that same enthusiasm Paul had? Well, I think we really need to take in what Jesus' attitude is towards the Christian family. Here's some verses from the Psalms. Psalm 16, verse 3. As for the saints, that's the family of God, the followers of Jesus. The saints are in the land. They are the glorious ones in whom is all my delight. Psalm 149, verse 4. The Lord takes delight in his people. The Lord really loves the church. He loves Christians. They might be a bit wacky, a bit of an odd bunch, but Jesus loves them so very much. The great news is Jesus can change us so that we're like him. When we become believers, Jesus works a change in our very nature. He gives us new desires and priorities. I'm going to suggest he can change us from polar bears into meerkats. Polar bears generally live alone, don't they? They're solitary creatures. They shun society. They live in a sort of frozen wasteland kind of a world. But the meerkat is a sociable, gregarious kind of a creature, and it seeks the company of his fellow meerkats. And people are naturally polar bears. They're frosty towards the idea of Christian fellowship. They prefer to keep themselves to themselves and stay at a distance. But when we become Christians, Jesus turns us from polar bears into meerkats. He puts into us his own care for the Christian family and his own desire to be with them. And if Jesus has come into our lives, we'll want to gather with those of our kind. So how we feel about time with other Christians is a really good guide to where we are spiritually in our own relationship with God. The person who knows Jesus loves Christian fellowship, wants to be with God's people as much as possible. But people who don't love Christian fellowship or seek Christian fellowship tend to be far from Jesus himself. And if that's your situation and you feel, yeah, I don't really seek out or particularly want to be with other Christians, come to Jesus today. Invite Jesus into your life in a real way, and he'll change your attitude to his people. So as we close then, meeting is such an important part of our Christian commitment. It's core to who we are. We're a gathering people. It's not just a means to an end. Perhaps we'd thought that meeting was just a means to an end, something we do in order to realize our vision, to accomplish certain objectives. And yeah, it is vital that we meet if we're going to achieve anything. We can get the ball rolling if we meet, can't we? We can plan things. We can allocate roles. We can review what we're doing. Sure, that all comes through meeting. But hopefully we've seen that meeting is about more than getting business done. Meeting is what church is. It's the nature of who we are. And if it's important that we're meeting, let's help each other to meet. We'll make sure the heating's switched on a little bit earlier through the winter. Perhaps you could arrive early and help set up a room for a midweek meeting. Perhaps you could offer to help run a social. Perhaps you could invite a few people round for dinner to get to know them, including someone new to the church. Perhaps you could offer someone a lift to church. Perhaps you could stay for coffee after church and get talking to other people. There are so many things that we could do. So let's do them. Let's do them for each other and with each other. I'm going to lead us in a prayer now, which we might have on the screen. It's the collect for this Sunday. And it's all about fellowship with one another, meeting together. God, who sent the Holy Spirit upon your church in the burning fire of your love, grant that your people may be fervent in the fellowship of the gospel, that always abiding in you, they may be steadfast in faith and active in service, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen.